on jokes, and he's paid me to tell them tonight. Big bucks. Amen. All right. Let me have all the missionaries come up here. The missionary families, could y'all come up here real quick? And yeah, families, let's just come on up here and let's kind of spread out here. And I want to sing to you. I've had several requests, but I'm going to sing anyway. Amen. Isn't this a blessing? Amen. Yeah, it's a blessing. Yeah, give us your name, rank, and serial number real quick. Can y'all do that? Go ahead, Brother Hutchins. I know you just did. Go ahead. Tell us who you are and where you're going real quick. Go ahead.
Sam and Juliana Hutchins going to New Zealand.
Yeah.
Thomas and Elvira Corbello and Brandon in Panama.
Leslie and Oliver Friday, missionaries to Honduras.
Isn't that a blessing? Go ahead, brother.
Josh Hamilton, my wife Shonda, Julian, Tristan, Abigail, Eleanor, and Gavin are in the nursery, and we're going to Scotland.
Scotland. Wow. Go ahead, brother.
Lem and Taylor Javier with Georgiana, Gloria, and Gilbert. We are missionaries to the Philippines.
Wow. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Let's give them a hand. Amen. All right. Let me sing my little song to you. Here's my little song. We love you missionaries. Oh, yes, we do. We don't love anyone as much as you. When you're not with us, we're blue. Oh, missionaries, we love you. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Okay, thank y'all. You can be seated. Thank y'all. Amen. By the way, that's what this conference is all about. You see Brother Hutchins right here? Our church has supported his mom and dad, Wes and Susan Hutchins, in Canada since he was probably, 12 or 13 years old. And so I helped feed that boy.
Yeah.
Amen. We sent him victuals from Arkansas. Amen. And our monthly support helped put beans on his table all the his growing up days. So anyway, we're certainly just like Pastor. We're proud to see what God has done. And let me get my shoe display out here. We have Brother John Casillas' shoes. And, you know, I went back and read the article today. Brother John Casillas and his wife both were strangled. Isn't that sad? I mean, they were right here at this church in the last missions conference that I saw them in. Went back to Mexico, long-standing missionaries, knew everybody in the community and all of that, and highly respected and loved the Lord, loved the Mexican people. And yet, you know, both of them, she was inside the house, he was out in a little storage building, and their lives were taken. Amen. But I'm telling you, they're martyrs for Christ. And that speaks volumes to my heart. And this is the last pair of shoes that his son had. Johnny sent those to us. And then we have Miss Debbie DeRay, who was here Sunday night, missionary to the deaf. And the more you'll get to know Miss Debbie is the real deal missionary. And she's reached, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deaf people. And she has a burden for the deaf people like nobody I've ever met in my life. And she's a blessing. And, you know, I just thank God. I love deaf people. And I thank God for them. And I appreciate people that minister to them. I wished I knew sign language. And I know enough to be dangerous. Amen. It's about like my Spanish. And you start talking a little bit, and then they start, you know, they lose you. So anyway, and then we have missionary Josh Wesson's shoes. And Josh, Brother Josh, long-standing missionary, 20 years in the Dominican Republic, and actually was rewarding some teenagers for helping with the Vacation Bible School and having an activity there in the Caribbean Sea. And a riptide got him and some teenagers, and he saved three of them and went back in for the fourth Dominican boy. And he drowned, and the boy drowned. And, you know, I'm so proud of his wife and children. They've gone back to the field, and they're serving the Lord there. I mean, I don't know what that means to y'all, but, you know, when you know these people, and you've shook their hands, and you've seen their presentations, and you've given money to support them, you know, your heart. I mean, it's just they're a part of your life, and you appreciate what they bring to the table and what they do for the Lord. And anyway, tonight I have another pair of shoes, and I just got this pair in this past week. And this missionary here, I have a picture of him. And Bob Johnston is his name, Bob Johnston. And Bob Johnston and his wife Mary were missionaries to Haiti for many, many years, and also to the Dominican Republic. And I have his pair of shoes that I just got in this week. And they're sending me a letter. These families were sending me a letter, and his family is, and this is a tie that he led a lot of people to the Lord wearing that tie, and I've never had a tie before, but they sent me that tie, and then I have a pair of his shoes here that he wore, and again, these are missionary shoes, and Bob Johnston got killed here recently in a car wreck here in the States, But I remember years ago, I was at a meeting in Jacksonville, Arkansas, at Brother Mike Files' church, and they have a big missionary camp meeting every year, and a lot of missionary families go to that meeting, and Bob Johnston gave testimony, and I remember him and his wife being there, and I remember Miss Mary having long hair, and Brother Bob, and just giving a testimony. But what happened to Miss Mary and Brother Bob, while they were in the country of Haiti, we know there's a lot of terrorists and stuff like that going on now, but this was several years ago. And some rebels kind of came in on them, and they took Brother Bob out to an outbuilding, preacher, and they put a gun to his head. I mean, he thought it was over with, and several men defiled his wife in the house, and he thought, that they both were going to be killed. It's just a nightmare of a story. And I heard him tell that story. His wife was sitting there. I thought, wow, this is an unbelievable story. Now listen to that story. It's written in a book. They have his testimony printed out in a book that they handed out to the missionaries, and at that meeting in Jacksonville, and I have a copy of that booklet in my office. But anyway, a lot of pastors, they came back to the field. What happened was, I mean, they thought it was, and it would have been it, but an American military vehicle with lights on it came into that village where they were at. I mean, that's just God. Yeah. Amen. We entertain angels unaware. God gives His angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. And I'm just telling you that, you're not going anywhere until God's ready for you. But when it's your time to go, it don't matter where you're at or who your mama is, you're going. Are y'all with me? And so that's exactly kind of what happened with Bob and Mary Johnson. It just wasn't their time to go. And this big American military vehicle came in with lights on it. And man, those rebels, they dropped what they were doing. They took off and ran for their lives. And so Bob and Mary Johnson, they came back to the States, and a lot of pastors kind of counseled them. They were getting counsel and safety and a multitude of counselors. And a lot of pastors told them, you don't need to go back to the mission field. Y'all been through enough. And that was the counsel of a lot of pastors, and friends and so forth in the ministry. But one day Miss Mary came to Brother Bob, and she told her husband that she had found it in her heart to forgive those people who had done those bad things to her. Well, God, the Holy Spirit took that and smote Brother Bob's heart. You can imagine just the bitterness and the anger, but because his wife was able to forgive and get release, the Holy Spirit took that and he caused Brother Bob to be able to forgive and get, like, wow, if she can forgive them, I certainly can. And they both forgave the people and they went back. And of course, there was a lot of people there they had reached and started churches and all of that that loved the Lord, that weren't rebels. Are y'all listening to me? That they had reached with the gospel. And so when they landed the plane there in Haiti, there was a group of Haitians there. There was a group of Haitians there to greet them and to welcome them back home. And I don't know what he was saying, but I can't remember the words in Haitian because I don't speak Haitian. But they were saying something in the Haitian language that meant, it's real. It's real. They've come back. The missionaries have come back. It's real. Because, the missionaries tie really into all this ministering and God and all of that. You can imagine what it did to those people's faith in the Lord and all that, to know that the missionaries loved us enough to come back after all they've been through. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
And then Bob Johnson comes back home on furlough and gets killed in a car wreck over here in the States after all they've been through. But God, again, it's God's timing. We can't question it. But I would ask you, he's got killed here recently, so I would ask you to pray for Miss Mary. She's still handling business matters and all this stuff, and would ask you to pray for her and her family, that God would give great grace and comfort to them. Wow, these shoe stories are awesome, aren't they? One of the couples here last night, let's see, where are they? They were saying, Brother Weedle, you need to get a pair of Miss Angie Elsie's shoes. And Angie Elsie, her and her husband were missionaries and to Bolivia. And I said, you're right. I went to Miss Angie's funeral the other day. And so anyway, I called Brother Kenneth Elsie today, and in 2 weeks I'm picking up a pair of Miss Angie Elsie's shoes in Rogers, Arkansas. And Miss Angie Elsie is a sixth generation Texan from San Saba, Texas. And she got three different kinds of cancer while in Bolivia. And I love Miss Angie and Brother Kenneth. And missionaries there 8 years, what a blessing, and just to have a pair of her shoes would be a great honor. You know what I'm saying? A great honor. And she fought three different kinds of cancer and went home to be with the Lord. Her daughter was helping dress her and take care of her. And I mean, she's a trooper. She's a good, strong lady for the Lord, and a powerful testimony there as well. So anyway, I got Kevin and Vicki Brindley. Would y'all wave him back there? And Emily. Amen. They got friends here tonight. Thank y'all for coming. They drove all the way from the other side of Fort Worth. Alvarado, where are we at? Alvarado, that where? Okay, over Alvarado way. So I appreciate them braving the elements. And I've known Vicki since she was little bitty. And I don't know, her brother Stanley's older than her. And Stanley was 5 years old. He's a little boy. And in Sunday school, he wanted to bring his fire truck to church with him. He wanted to go to hell and put hell out. Amen. He was going to take care of hell once and for all. He's going to bring his fire truck and just go to hell and just douse it. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. And so we've known Vicki pretty much all of her life, and her mom and dad and family and so forth. And then somehow or another she met Kevin along the way and swept him off his feet and all that good stuff. So anyway, we're not getting into all that gooey stuff. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Exodus chapter number 12. And thank y'all for being here tonight. I know the girls got beat today. Girls, I'm sorry y'all got beat. We love y'all. It's all right. I coached volleyball for a long time. Coached Vicki in volleyball. Bump, set, spike it. That's the way we like it. So we'll get them next year. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. There is life after volleyball too. Amen. But it is fun to play volleyball and sports and all that. It all has its place and develop character and so forth. It's a lot of fun. You know, tonight, again, we're in a missions conference. We got all these missionaries here. We got missionary shoes here. We got the Lord here with us tonight. Thank the Lord for the good singing. And I love missions, love missionaries, and we're not asking you to do something. I know most of you that would be here would be involved in Faith Promise Missions giving, and I thank the Lord for you being faithful in your bringing your tithes and also giving to missions. And this church's missions program, you look at the graft on the back of the little booklet, and you can see how God has blessed it, okay? And we've lost some families. Pastor told me had several families move away, and those were missions givers and tithers. And, you know, some may have to do a little more this year, amen? You're going to have to take up the slack, just have a little more faith. And someone has said that God will give through you what He will not give to you. And Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And we ain't taking none of this stuff with us. We might as well lay up some treasures in heaven. And you know, if God blesses the right people, if God blesses you to make money, you know, and you have a heart for missions, man, I mean, that's just a blessing to the church and a blessing to the work of God. And you're laying up treasures in heaven. Isn't that a blessing? And man, I thank God, man. And I'll tell you, God, He blesses our giving, doesn't He? And I met a guy the other day. He had non-alcoholic sclerosis of the liver. Like a very small percentage of people. It's really sad. He's a young man in his 30s. He's got a little girl named Gracie, and he's got stage 3 liver cancer, and he's never drank. But we have a lot of Baptist folks that have what we call sclerosis of the giver. Amen. I'm glad none of y'all are here tonight have that, but anyway, it has been known that Baptist folk would have that dreaded disease as well. Amen, Brother Crawford. Amen. All right. Brother Crawford and I, we can really relate well. We were kind of calculating last night how many glasses of whatever we drank, how many times we'd have to get up and go to the bathroom in the night. Amen? How many of y'all can relate? Well, never mind. It's what you talk about when you get older. Amen? One guy told me the other day, he said, "Pastor, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself." Amen? And somebody said, "Growing old's not for sissies." Amen? And it's not. Amen. All right, let's get to the message. Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. And begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. his head with his legs and with his with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Father, we love you now. We thank you, Lord, for these dear missionary families, Lord, tonight. And I pray you'd make a way for them, Lord. And thank you for those that are on furlough and, Lord, just coming back to report to their churches and visit family and maybe get a little bit of rest along the way if possible. But God, we thank you for their labor of love in the distant lands. And Lord, we understand that their hearts are back with their people, Lord, and in the other parts of the world, Lord, there, and their ministries are there waiting on them. And Father, we thank you for these that are on deputation that are just raising their support to be able to go to their respective fields of service. And I pray that you'd bless them and Lord, give them many souls for their labor. And we thank you, Lord, for what our eyes have seen, our hearts have felt, Lord, this week through our missionaries and just rubbing elbows with them and seeing their presentations. And I pray, Lord, you just bless now this message to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, tonight I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the shedding of the blood. The shedding of the blood, and last night we talked about Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice of the son there. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the shedding of the blood. And, you know, there are many today that are rejecting the blood. And just as it took the blood for the people of Israel to get out of Egypt, it still takes the blood for sinners to get saved out of their sins and into salvation today. And you don't hear much preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ today. But, you know, in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, we also have the story of Cain and his brother Abel. And you remember the story how that Cain his offering was rejected by God. He tried to please God and atone for his sins without the blood. And instead of offering a sacrifice of blood, he offered an offering of the works of his own hands. And God would not accept that offering of the works of his hands. And you know, there's an old saying. How many of you heard the old saying, you can't get blood out of a turnip? How many of y'all heard that old saying? That's an old saying. Can't get blood out of a turnip. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So he brought the offering of his hands, the works of his own hands, and God would not accept that. And it's still that way today. That's Cain's offering. But Abel's offering was accepted because by faith he offered a blood sacrifice. Abel offered a blood sacrifice, and that's what pleases God, okay? And so tonight we're going to talk about that here in Exodus chapter number 12. If you don't mind keeping your Bible open there to Exodus chapter number 12. Look at verse number 3 through 5, verses 3 through 5. And first of all, we want to look at the selection of the lamb. The selection of the lamb. It says, Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the house will be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And verse number 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Now, the lamb is described here in three different ways. And you've heard this before, but it's called a lamb in verse number 3. And this would speak of a lamb as a potential sacrifice in verse 3. And then in verse number 4, it's called the lamb, okay? The lamb. And this would speak of a public sacrifice. But then you get to verse number 5, and it says, your lamb. Your lamb. And you know, it's no longer just a potential sacrifice or a public sacrifice, but it becomes a personal sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't just know Jesus in my head, but I know Him in my heart. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad He's your lamb, but I'm glad He's my lamb. He's my lamb. And boy, what a blessing that He died for you. He died for me. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 6, the Bible says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. We might say that Christ stood in eternity past, a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Isn't that a blessing? And then in John 1:29, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here he's presented as the Lamb of God. And then when an individual comes to Christ for salvation, he must claim Christ as my Lamb. My Lamb. And that makes him his personal Lamb, his Lord and Savior. That's what Thomas did in the upper room in John chapter 20 and verse number 28. When Thomas saw the nail prints in Jesus' hands and the spear print in Jesus' side, the Bible says, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Wow, Thomas was saying, hey, he's mine. He's mine. Can you say that tonight? Are you glad tonight he's your Lamb? Amen. And listen, what a blessing. Then it gives us the specifications of the Lamb. Look at verses 5 and 6. This is awesome here. Verse number 5 and 6. It was to be a Lamb without blemish. Your Lamb shall be without blemish. It says then, a male of the first year. And again, a male without blemish, would speak of the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. He was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. Isn't that a blessing? And it was also to be a male, and again it says there in verse number 5, a male of the first year, and that would speak of the gender of Christ, and he was all man, and we know that and understand that. And then it was to be of the first year. The first year there, it says that, the first year, a male of the first year. And this would probably speak of Christ dying as a young man at the age of 33 and crucified right in the prime of his life. And then the Lamb was to be taken out from among the sheep and the sheep and the goats. And there in verse number 5. And again, this would speak of the humanity of Jesus Christ. And in his incarnation, he became one of us that he might die for us. And I appreciate the fact that he condescended, amen, that he came down from his glory, amen. Ever living story. My God and Savior came and Jesus was his name. And that blessing that he would, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich, amen. And I'm just saying, wow, when I start thinking about all this stuff that Jesus went through and all that he's done for me, it messes me up in my heart, and I'm thinking, wow, the goodness of God leads me to repentance. It makes me want to get down on my knees and say, God, I'm sorry. I haven't been all that I ought to be. I want to love you more. I want to love you better. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, it's preaching time now. Amen. It's preaching time now. And again, so the selection of the Lamb, the specifications of the Lamb. Thirdly, we see the slaying of the Lamb. The slaying of the Lamb. Look at verse number 6. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Wow, the slaying of the Lamb. Notice the place. It was not to be slain in secret, okay? But it'd be out in the open before all the people. And notice the people that were there to slay the Lamb. It was all the children of Israel. And this is a picture of how Christ would one day be slain out in the open before all the children of Israel. And these are all pictures and types here in the Old Testament. And then the period, the time of the slaying of the Lamb, it would take place in the evening. Christ evidently died on the cross at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or the ninth hour, according to their schedule, the ninth hour of the day. And so we see the selection of the Lamb, the specifications of the Lamb, the slaying of the Lamb. Fourthly, we see the separation of the Lamb, the separation of the Lamb. By this we mean the separation of the blood from the body. The separation of the blood of the Lamb from the body of the Lamb. Now look in verses 7 through 11. Look at your Bible now. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So God, through Moses, gives the children of Israel instructions, listen to me now closely, on what to do with the blood of this lamb. They were to take the blood and put it in a basin, okay? They would put the blood in the basin. The blood, they would take the blood out of the lamb's body. They would put the blood in the basin. And then they would put the blood on the brush. And then they would put the brush on the building, the blood on the building. Wow, I could just see this in my mind's eye, the blood in the lamb's body and then the blood in the basin. And then I can see them as they walk and begin to apply the blood to the doorpost and to the above the doorpost there. And wow, I could just see all this in my mind's eye. Can you see it in your mind's eye, the basin, the brush, the building, the blood being applied? It's also important to notice that the children of Israel are given definite directions as to how the blood must be applied. They were to take the blood and strike it on the two side posts of the door. and on the upper lintel of the door. No doubt a few drops of the blood fell to the threshold. And, you know, on the two side posts of the door, the blood was to be sprinkled. And then on the top of the door there, and on the threshold, on the top of the door, the upper lintel, and then maybe a few drops drip down to the threshold, the bottom there. You can just kind of see, using your imagination just a little bit, you can kind of see a picture of a cross there, you know. And again, man, we're thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. And again, thank God for the significance of the blood. It's very clear. Then we come to verse 12 and verse number 13. It says here, and the blood, it says verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. Wow, I am the Lord. Now look at verse 13. I want everybody to focus in on verse 13. The Bible says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. When I see the blood, someone might ask the question, you know, but is the blood still significant? Is the blood still significant in 2016? The Bible says, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Notice the words, when I see the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. God did not say, when I see a dead lamb, or when I smell the meat roasting, or when I taste of the meat. But God said, when I see the blood. And you see, it was not really that God was looking toward Egypt and the blood of an animal, but God was looking toward Calvary. God was looking toward Calvary and the blood of His Son, the Lamb of God. My question for you tonight, is He your Lamb? Is He your Lamb? Brother Wiggins, you can come over here to the piano. Wow. God wasn't really looking toward Egypt and the blood of an animal. God was looking toward Calvary. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross. Died for the sinner. Paid all his due. And what a blessing. When I see the blood, the old song says, I will pass. I will pass over you. So what does God see when He sees the blood? What does God see when God's, you know, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. What does God see when He sees the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God? God sees, number one, the redemption of sinners. Amen. The redemption of sinners. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. God looked down through time and He saw a little red-headed boy that was going to be born July 21st, 1960. You might want to write that down in your Bible. July 21st, 1960. That's when I was born. Santa Rosa Hospital in San Antonio, Texas. 9 pounds and 1 ounce. I always tell people I was 3 weeks late and my hair rusted. That's why I'm red-headed. I stayed in there too long, amen. But God looked down through time and He saw a little red-headed boy. And He said, you know, I love that little boy. I love that little boy. And I don't want that little red-headed boy to die and go to hell. And the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Amen. And when God sees the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, God sees the redemption of sinners. Nothing can pay the price to buy a sinner back from the slave market of sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. A lot of churches are cutting the songs about the blood of Jesus Christ out of their songbooks. That ain't happening where I pastor. That ain't happening here at Heritage either. I know your pastor. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And I love that song. Love that song, when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow, for the Lamb of God is worthy and He washed me, this I know. I love songs about the blood. Hebrews 9 verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. But by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Isn't that a blessing? 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. No, sir, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The second thing that God sees when He sees the blood of Jesus Christ, He sees the remission of sins. The remission of sins. Well, I'm glad that my old dirty, rotten sins have been purged. Amen. The songwriter said, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. The third thing that God sees when He sees the blood of His Son, He sees sinners being reconciled to God. Reconciled to God, reconciled to the Savior. Wow, I'm glad tonight that I have that peace of God in my heart. The Bible says in Colossians 1:20 and 21, and having made peace through His blood, made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. I'm glad I've been reconciled to God. I have that peace in my heart tonight because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's been applied, amen. Ephesians 2:14, for He is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The fourth thing that God sees when He sees the blood of Christ is He sees recognition in the sanctuary. Aren't you glad that we can talk to God? That we can have our prayers can be answered? You know, the Old Testament priest could not have an audience with God without the blood, and neither can we. Neither can we. Hebrews 9, 6 and 7, the Bible says, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second went the high priest alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. He died for you. He shed His blood for you. We have access to the Father through the Son. It's a blessing. The next thing, the fifth thing that God sees when He sees the blood of Christ, He sees the retaining of our salvation. I'm glad that once we get saved, we're always saved. The Word of God not only teaches us conversion, but there's also continual cleansing. You know, that's what this missions conference is about. If you can get your heart clean with God, then you can hear that still small voice of God. You know how Brother Hutchins could hear God's Holy Spirit talking to him about the country of New Zealand? Because his heart was clean. His wife elbowed him, and the pastor said, the Lord starts working, man. It's awesome. Don't you like to be in that position where you can hear that still small voice of God? Hey, listen, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I got stinking thinking and I got bitterness and wrath and anger and all this junk going on in my mind and my heart, how can I hear what God wants me to give to missions? I want God to lay what He wants me to give to missions on my heart so I can do what He wants me to do. I don't want to figure it out. I want to faith it out. Amen. I want to trust the Lord. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, and from Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, I like this part right here, and washed us from our sins, in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That happened to every one of us the moment we got saved. He washed us. He washed us in His own blood from our sins. Wow, thank You, Jesus. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as God's children, amen, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. I want to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Fellowship one with another, and the Bible says, in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Some of y'all stink tonight. Brother Crawford's dad was smelling of his armpits a while ago to see if it was him. I was sitting right down there by him, and I caught a little whiff, and I thought, man, he stinks. And I just moved right over there on the other side. No, I was giving a little more elbow room, amen. He thought, he might have offended me. But, you know, really honestly, you know, we can laugh and have a good time, but, you know, really honestly, some of y'all, you don't smell good tonight to God. You know, how many of y'all like chocolate chip cookies in the oven? You can smell them. Raise your hand right there. Got a good sniffer, amen. How many of you like homemade biscuits? Some of y'all wouldn't know what that is, but how many of y'all like homemade biscuits in the oven? Yeah, amen. Homemade biscuits. You know, just something, a cake or something that smells, brownies or something in the oven. Boy, you get a whiff of it, that aroma, it smells good. Well, hey, that's the way our lives are supposed to be, a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. And I tell you, you know, I've got 12 grandbabies, you know, and when one of them has a poopy diaper, I've got a good sniffer, and I'm like, whoo, dude, whoa, Lord, help me here, honey. Mama, help, you know, somebody. I mean, I'm passing that little critter off sooner than later, amen. That's what God made grannies and mamas for, you know, to change them poopy diapers. And so, you know, I'm just saying, I don't want my life to be like that to God. Like God said, good night, somebody down there at Heritage stinks. I don't want it to be me. Amen. Hey, I want the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, to cleanse me. I want to, you know, what can wash away? I mean, I want to be clean. I not only want to be, I'm thankful I'm God's Son, but I want to be clean. I want to be right in the sight of God. Amen. So that when the Lord comes back, that I can be where I need to be and where I ought to be. But it's a continual thing to walk in the light and to be clean. And His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. As God's children, we need to be clean. Are you clean tonight? I'm asking you that. Are you clean tonight? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I'm glad you're saved tonight, but are you clean as God's child? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You got any animosity in your heart towards somebody here tonight? Well, it'd be a good time to get that out. When you throw up, you feel better. Amen. Get all that old stuff out of you. You know, you'll feel better. You will. And I don't have any animosity toward anybody here tonight that I know of. I'm done tonight. The sixth thing that God sees when He sees the blood of His Son is He sees us rising up with the Savior. Brother Roloff used to say, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. And that's talking about pulling out in the rapture. And you know, when the rapture comes back, God's not going to seek out the church clerk to see whose name is on the church roll. And He's not going to seek out the church treasurer to see who was given what. But when God comes back, it's going to be the blood that He's looking for. It's going to be the blood of His Son applied to your heart, your life. That's what He's going to be looking for. And I'm glad that the blood's been applied to my life. When I see the blood, I will pass. I will pass over you. I like this song Brother Wiggins is going to sing for us. It kind of tells the story tonight out of Exodus. One dark night down in Egypt. You got it, brother? All right, take it away, Leon.
Well, one dark night in Egypt, a fearful time had come. For one little Hebrew boy who was his father's firstborn son. Now the angel of death was passing low. It was hard to fall asleep, but one little lamb stood in his head as he laid there. Wondered why the young lamb had to die, why his blood was on the door. Through the wind and rain, it still remained, but he wanted to be sure. So he called out to his earthly father with a trembling voice, so scared, saying, Father, please will you look and see if the blood is still there. And he said, Son, now don't you worry,
right there, amen.
For the blood is there to stay.
Is he your lamb tonight?
The winds will blow.
Amen.
made long, but it won't just wash away.
The blood will stand the
raging storm.
Glad I'm not going to hell no more. Hey, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And
you can rest assured the blood's still there tonight. He died for you. He loved you.
Looking over all the damage.
What about it, teenagers?
Satan's storm.
He loves you, teenager. He died for you.
Behind, and the flood of
glad I'm not going to hell
questions. Doubt had filled my mind.
You love him tonight. I love you, man.
All the fear that gripped my
greater love it no man
soul.
Than this. The man laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for you. He loves you.
Prayer, crying, Father, please will you look and see if the blood is still there? And he said, Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stain. The winds may blow and the rains may fall, but it won't just wash.
Let's do it. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. Amen. It's still the blood that saves from sin.
Once I wandered in sin.
Hey, the invitation's still open. If you need to come, amen. I'm telling you, man.
There was
there's no way I could make my wrongs right.
I could make my wrongs right. Then that old accuser to the Lord. Then I heard a voice saying,
yeah, Father, I'll go.
Father, yeah. I'll go.
Yeah, I don't want that little redhead boy to die. Go to hell. I'll go, Father.
And Calvary's flow, I'll bear in my body.
I'll bear in my body the marks,
the marks of the cross.
He did that for you. Oh, this mission stuff ain't no problem, man. It's no problem. We love him because he first loved us. While we were yet sinners.
Still the blood.
Still the blood that saves from sin.
Still the blood that cleanses within.
Amen.
From the highest star in
heaven. To the depths of the sea. Go ahead.
Still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.